Well, we're going to get into the Word this morning, church. You know, I always ask you this question, who bought their Bibles? Your phones, everyone puts their phones up. We'll put the torches on and start waving the torches. Oh, hallelujah. Well, the title for my message this morning, church, is Having God's Heart for the World Around Us. Having God's Heart for the World Around Us. And you know, if we have God's heart for those around us, you'll just find that God starts to open doors of favor that you couldn't open. If you're going to represent him and you've got his heart, he'll take you further than what you can go by yourself. You know, this morning, early, I was reading where Joseph was put in prison. And then, of course, we know that Pharaoh has a dream and Joseph gets to interpret the dream. One day he was in prison, the next day he interprets a dream for Pharaoh and he gets put over the kingdom of Egypt. It's just such supernatural favor, amen, because Joseph had God's heart. And I believe that he wants to accelerate us and give us favor with people, open up, you know, doors where we can disciple people and speak into people's lives. But we've got to have his heart, amen, a heart of love. So we're going to be looking at God's love this morning, and we're just going to, if we can all open to Mark chapter 10. This just passage sort of opens up what I'd like to say this morning. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And it starts out by saying, now as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honour your mother and father. And so the rich young ruler, he starts to feel kind of good about himself. He says, all right, all right. And he says, verse 20, and he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. He's thinking, all right, cool, I got this thing going on. But verse 21, then Jesus, looking at him, and it's this next part, loved him, said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come and take up your cross and follow me. And verse 22 says, but at this word he was sad, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. And this is really the heart of what I want to talk about this morning. You know, this rich young ruler, he had obviously stuff going on with money, you know, it was a bit of an idol in his life. But Jesus comes in, looked at him, and loved him. And so, you know, it's having God's heart for those that are in front of us. Who knows, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, right? And so what was the joy set before him? It was people. People were the joy set before him. And so people should be the joy set before us. Amen. Having God's heart for those around us, seeing them the way God sees them. There's such joy in that. There's such strength in that. I love what Galatians 5 verse 4 to 6 says, and I'm going to read it in the Message translation. It says, I suspect you would never intend this, but this is what happens. When you attempt to live by your own religious plans and projects, you are cut off from Christ and you fall out of grace. Meanwhile, we expectingly wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. And this last part is what I really want to highlight this morning. For in Christ, neither our most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. But what matters is far more interior, faith expressed through love. And that's how we treat others. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. But then the measure of how much we know how much God loves us is how we treat others and how we love others. Ephesians 5, what's happening there. Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, be imitators of God, copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their father. And verse 2, I love this. It says, walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and a sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. But don't you just love that? Esteeming and delighting in one another. That kind of, you know, enjoyment when you get around people, it goes far beyond, oh, duty, or, you know, I'm just supposed to love people. It's actually just an outward expression of God's love in us. I've got a few quotes here from Bob Goff, and they're kind of funny, but they're good as well. So the first one says, love is kind. If it's not, it's something else. What about this one? Love difficult people. You're one of them. I thought that one was good, right? Next one. We make loving people a whole lot more complicated than Jesus did. Yeah? Thought that one was good. And what about this one? I've never met a courageous cynic. You know, if we're finding ourselves in criticism and in bitterness, a lot of the time it just totally hijacks your faith. Amen. We can either see what's not happening in someone's life and see with eyes of judgment, or we can see what God wants to do about it. Amen. This morning we're going to look at a few examples of how when Jesus was with people, how he just ministered to people so beautifully and so individually. So before we get in, let's just pray and open our hearts this morning. Father God, I just thank you for the word. Lord God, I thank you for the word that you've put on my heart this morning, Father God. I thank you that it brings change. Father, it brings freedom. And Lord God, I just pray that it's like we have a new lens to see with this morning, Father God. Just like people with the joy set before you, Father, that they can be the joy set before us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay, so the first point I have this morning, for those of you taking notes, for us to see others the way that God sees them, we have to first know how God sees us, right? And let's go to Ephesians 1, verse 4. I've got a slide for this one, so you don't have to turn there. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Can we just all read this together? Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. What a truth that is. So, you know, I just want you to close your eyes for a minute, and I just want you to picture yourself standing before Jesus as if he was right there before you. And so this is how he sees you. He sees you holy, and he sees you without fault. Wow. Isn't that an amazing truth to get hold of? And that's how he sees others that are in Christ. Hallelujah. And that's where we can start talking about that salvation and righteousness is a gift. You know, all of us have got stuff that we're battling or stuff that we're working through. But because he sees us through the blood of Jesus, we're holy and we're blameless and we're without blemish. Amen? And we've got to remember as well, John 16, 23. And I've got it in the New King James and the Amplified. But the New King James says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. And I love how the Amplified puts it in 16, 23. It says, and when that time comes, you will ask nothing of me. You will need to ask me no questions. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name, presenting all that I am. And so it's got nothing to do with our righteousness. So if you picture yourself, you know, coming to the throne of grace and, you know, you need an answered prayer or you need a breakthrough somewhere, whenever we come to the throne of grace, Jesus presents himself as all that he is on our behalf. Son of God, perfect sinless life, complete right standing with the Father, sufficient sacrifice for sin. Amen. God answers our prayers because of all that Jesus is. And that just really shows us that in the kingdom of God, there's no room for boasting. There's no room for pride. Amen. It's a level playing field because we all enter in through the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get an amen this morning, church? Romans 10:3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So the next point that I'm going to go into is grace paired with truth. Grace paired with truth. You know, often we can get so caught up and I need to get truth to this person that we forget that grace and truth came through Jesus. If we're going to walk like Jesus walked, we've got to have patience for those around us, amen, while they work out their salvation. And how many know that Jesus never got frustrated with the stage that people were at? He wasn't like, oh, you're still struggling with that. Come on, you should be through that by now. Whoever he met, he had grace for, right? You know, that would be like me if I started getting frustrated at my 6-year-old for not behaving like my 13-year-old. We're all at different stages, amen? And he's continuously calling us into freedom. He's continuously calling us, you know, out of where we've been into the more. But he's so patient with us, amen? That's his character. And so it's up to us then to highlight the gold in people, not the gunk. We want to highlight the gold in people and call that out in them. And, you know, I just want you to hear my heart here, that I'm not saying that we make an allowance for the enemy in people's lives and just sort of think, oh, okay, whatever, you know, that's happening. But what I am saying is that the Father is the vine dresser. Amen? He'll do the pruning, right? I love this quote. It says, it's okay to share in God's desire for holiness for his people, but you must also share in God's love for his people. I'll say that again. It's okay to share in a desire for holiness for God's people, but you must also share in a love for God's people. Amen. We don't want to see, you know, you get little winds of doctrine that come in and it's like such an intolerance and a harshness that comes into the body of Christ, but it's just not how Jesus was. He's our example. And so if we just look at a few different examples from Scripture, Gideon, who knows the story of Gideon? It's in Judges chapter 7, and you don't need to turn there, I'll just read it, but Judges chapter 7, at this time, Israel was being oppressed by the enemy nations, and they were going and just destroying Israelites' crops. They were going and killing all their cattle, and they pretty much had no food. And so Gideon, at this time when God appears to Gideon, it says in verse 11, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak tree which belonged to Joash, and his son Gideon was beating the wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So it's not like he was out there, you know, some courageous guy like, yep, let me take on the battle, God. He was hiding at night from the enemy. But verse 12 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, mighty man of fearless courage. And so, you know, Jesus didn't say to him, you coward, you've failed, look at you hiding away. What did he do? He calls him into where he was going. And that's what I really want to get across this morning. You know, the Lord wants to give us that perspective when we're looking at people. We want to see that they're created in his image. You know, the gifts of the Spirit and the prophetic really flow from that area when instead of, you know, focusing on the marks on the dirty windscreen, you look past that and you see who they are in him. It's such a joy to walk like that. But again, it's such a subtle shift because we can easily kind of err over onto the side of being critical and bitter and seeing all their weaknesses. But it's like we actually have to say, Lord, would you help me to see people like that? I want to see people like that. You know, when you represent Jesus, people you won't be able to keep people away from you because they'll see him in you. And I just believe we're in a time where the world is crying out to see who Jesus really is. And guess what? We're his representation on the earth, right? Another example, the woman caught in the act of adultery. Eek. Like, not a good situation, right? But who knows what Jesus said to her? He could have said, oh, you disgraceful thing. How dare you? He calls her daughter, the only one that was actually qualified to throw the stone, didn't. Share a little story. So those were the two biblical examples, but this is kind of a real life example that a friend of mine shared a story a little while back, and she was at Woolies. And she just heard a bit of ruckus, like in the aisles, and she was like, what's shouting and laughing? And so she goes and has a bit of a look, and there's some teenage girls, and they're just mucking about. They've got the deodorants, and they're opening all the lids, and they're spraying it, and they're and they're just messing up pretty much. And so she's standing there watching them, and she's like, ah. I can do about this, you know. And she's quite outspoken, you know, she'll just kind of get in there and say something. But anyway, she walks over to them, and this is what she says to them. She goes, hey. She goes, you're better than that. She could have said so many other things. You know, she could have said, oh, that's disrespectful. Stop it. How dare you? That's all true, right? They shouldn't have been doing that. But instead, she goes in there with God's heart and she goes, hey, you're so much better than that. And that's the heart that we're called to have for those around us. And here's the scripture for it. New King James, 1 Corinthians 13:7. It says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I love it in the Amplified as well. It says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. And this next part is ever ready to believe the best of every person. How much did Jesus model that? He was just continuously believing the best of every person and calling them into that. If only we could walk like that and see people as God sees them, we'd be setting people free left, right, and centre and bringing people into the kingdom. You know, people generally know where they're falling short. They generally know where they're messing up. They need people to come in and tell them who they are in Christ and who he's created them to be. And you know something so powerful is just offering to stand with people. Like if you see someone going through something, a brother or a sister, just say, hey, I'm going to stand with you in prayer over that. A lot of the time people don't need, you know, our advice. They certainly don't need our criticism because then it becomes a ministry of condemnation instead of a ministry of reconciliation. But just offering, hey, let me stand with you in prayer until you see that breakthrough. Amen? Is everyone open to the Lord showing them people that we can stand with in prayer? Amen? And so this is how Jesus believes of us as well. We've got to first remember that, you know, when we make bad decisions, when our lives are in a bit of a mess, when we take wrong turns, every single person could put their hand up, right? Because no one's never done anything wrong. Jesus is continuously ever ready to believe the best of us. It's good news this morning, church. All right, next point. Our war isn't with people. We've got to remember that. Our war isn't with people. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. Oh, we didn't read that one, but there we go. That just shows the character of the Lord Jesus, right? For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Can we have grace for those around us? All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. And it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. So, you know, if you think of a physical war and an army, they're battling one another, right? They're battling the people. Well, we as Christians, you know, we in prayer, we come against ideologies and we come against wrong motives and things like that and wrong agendas that, you know, the enemy would try and bring to this nation and to this town and over our families. But we've got to remember we're not battling against flesh and blood. Your sister, your brother sitting right next to you, they're not your enemy. And neither are the unbelievers. Amen. And we see that in Luke chapter 9. If we can all just turn there. Luke chapter 9. I don't have this up on the slide, so just turn to Luke chapter 9, please. And verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it starts out by saying, Now it came to pass that when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey towards Jerusalem. And so the disciples get indignant. They're like, how dare you reject our Jesus? 54 says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command down fire from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? Verse 55, but he turned and rebuked them, and he said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And this is the heart that God's looking for in his people. Amen. He's looking for the heart, you know, where Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. It actually says that Sodom and Gomorrah was exceedingly wicked. Like it was a wicked, wicked place. But Abraham comes in and says, you know, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, will you spare it? If there's 45 righteous, if there's 40, and he gets all the way down to 5, and God says, yep, I'll spare it. I believe the Lord is looking for people who are going to go in prayer and fight on behalf of those who are going in a direction that he doesn't want them to go. You know, we're not to join in criticism. We're not to join in speaking destruction over people's lives. And, you know, even this town, I get a little bit zealous when I hear people, this and that's and that. It's like, no, God's got a plan for this town. Start speaking his plans and his purposes over the town, because the town is made up of people and they're people that God wants to save. Amen? So can we just get in unity and start speaking God's purposes, God's plans, freedom over this region? You know, I think Pastor Jen brought the scripture. One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. What happens when a group this size in this room start speaking freedom over the Kimberley region. Start speaking freedom over families, freedom over the youth of this town. Amen? You'll find you'll have divine encounters wherever you go, having God's heart. He'll give you favour. All right, let's have a look at this. We can't talk about God's love without going to 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, we'll go to this one first. My slides are all mixed up. Can you guys forgive me? It's not neat. It's not polished, but that's okay. It's still God's word. But I put this one up, Matthew 5:6. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So you actually can step outside of the mercy and the grace that God wants to put on your life by not showing others mercy. It's a bit of a solemn word, but it says, with the measure you used, it'll be measured back to you. Amen? Can we be a people that are merciful to those around us? I just want to share a little testimony as well. My sister gave me a call a few days ago, and she said, oh, just the most amazing thing happened, you know. She goes, I was at my local IGA 5 minutes from my house, and I was just there to get some groceries and quick bit of shopping, and I seen a guy sitting out sort of just right near the door, and he had a bit of cardboard, and he was asking for money. And so my sister thought, okay, yeah, and goes into the shop, does her shopping, and goes and sits back in the car, but just felt that tug of the Holy Spirit to do something. Who knows what I'm talking about? It's like, you do know, I'm busy, I'm just going to keep going. But then it's like you just feel the Lord kind of go, well, we've all had that, right? And so anyway, she, okay. And she goes, my heart was beating so fast. And so I just got out of the car, and we've actually had homelessness in our family. Very close family members, you know, they just ended up in bad situations and ended up homeless for a couple years. So I just feel like, you know, for me, I can understand how people can get there. And so anyway, my sister just had a heart to go over there and have a chat to the man sitting there and, you know, hey, how are you? Like, what's your name? And he said his name. And she goes, how'd you get in this situation? And he just starts opening up about, you know, what he'd been through. And you know, she said, I sat there for about 15 minutes talking to him, just listening to his story. And at the end of it, she goes, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? And he was like, he goes, sure. But he goes, that's just really weird that you asked me that question. And then you wait for the God moment when they say something like that, right? It's just really weird that you asked me that question, because my partner, the other day from the op shop, she picked up a Bible and she's been reading this Bible. You see, if my sister walked past and just thought, do you have to sit right at the door? Or like, come on, mate, you know, there's... we got the pension, what are you, like, and just judgmental, critical, whatever. She came along and showed him what Jesus was like. She could have easily turned them off Jesus by being critical and judgmental. And I feel like I'm kind of saying the same thing over and over this morning, but I really just believe that the Lord wants to give us a fresh vision for those around us. Amen. Let's just go to 1 Corinthians 13. We will get there. We're getting there. All right. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 6. Love endures long and is patient and is kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful nor vigilantious. I said that wrong. Nor does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited or arrogant or inflated with pride. We spoke about pride before, right? It is not rude, unmannerly. It does not act becomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. I heard a really great message one day. It was at Victory Life Conference, and the preacher was saying, you can either be dead right or you can have relationship. I thought that's actually a really... really good thing there. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It's pretty challenging, isn't it? Verse 6, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. And so, you know, the Bible says that God is love, right? So that there is a description of God. It's how he is with us. But because God's love lives in us, Galatians 5, 22, 23, fruit of the Spirit, 2 Timothy 1, 7, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Romans 5, 5, for the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is actually a description of us as well, of who we are in Christ. So, you know, don't let the enemy give you other identity ideas of who you are, or, you know, you might have struggled in the past, but we've got to know that God's love lives in us, and that can be the most powerful force in our lives. Amen. So So I just believe in this next season that the Lord wants to bring a fresh revelation to us of who he is, but then who he wants to be to the world around us. You know, just like the rich young ruler where Jesus looked at him and loved him. What a joy. What a joy to look at someone, you know, sitting by the door at IGA and just see them with God's heart. Difficult people in your life, I'm sure we've all got them, right? Let them be your teacher. Let them teach you how to love. You know, Jesus said, what good is it if you only love those who love you? Right? Amen. I can see you're all thinking. Can we just stand? I'd just like to pray and we'll just get the worship team back up. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you would also now love one another. So I just challenge you this morning, allow God to show you people through his lens for the joy set before him. Father, we just thank you that your word says over and over again, Lord, that we are filled with your love. Lord God, that that your love has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we just thank you, Father God. We thank you for fresh perspective at this time, Lord God, that we just step into a new way of relating to those around us. Lord God, we know that we need mercy, Father, so we're going to show mercy to those around us. Thank you, Lord God. We just open up our hearts to you. And I just want to give an invitation. You know, the Lord is here. And he wants to show you his love. And how he wants to show you his love is that he wants to offer you forgiveness. And this is for people that have never invited Jesus into their lives this morning. There's an opportunity for you to do that. He showed you his love by sending his son to die so that you could be forgiven and set free. And it's just a simple prayer. It's you opening up your heart and saying, Jesus, I need that. I need what you did on the cross. So if that's you this morning, I'd love you to come down and we can pray for you and you'll notice such a change in your life because God will actually come and live on the inside of you. You will see life from a whole new perspective. He wants to forgive you of your past. You know, the Bible says he's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, but you have to make a decision to invite him in. That doesn't just automatically happen. It takes us humbling ourselves and inviting him to come and live on the inside. Amen. So we're just going to sing this last song. And if you have any other prayer needs, please come down. Healing. If you were touched by the word this morning, we'd just love to lay hands on you. And the Lord will show you a new way of walking with people this morning. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.